Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin didn't have much to say after the game yesterday. You know, Brown's getting just looking miserable against the Miami Dolphins and losing 20-3 on a terrible day, and you could say the conditions and blah, blah, blah. But the Dolphins still managed to put up 20 points with a backup quarterback, and the Browns put up three. And the Browns have now scored 7, 6, and 3 points in the last three games. If Jameis Winston were healthy, would he be playing? I sure hope so. Is he healthy enough that he could play? I don't know the answer to that. At this point, hate to say it, because and Tyvus Powell yesterday on the postgame show, I asked Tyvus, what do players think about games at this time with draft position? He said players couldn't care less. They want to go out and win. Okay, great. Well, if you don't have the talent on the field to possibly win a game, you don't have anything to worry about. And that seemed to be the case yesterday for the Browns. Just didn't have the talent, Dan.
Yeah. DTR, I said DTR looks lost. I've seen enough.
I think everybody has.
Yeah, I'm good. If Kevin Stefanski walks out there today and says we will be starting Bailey Zappi, a quarterback, on Saturday, I'd be like, okay, fine, sure, whatever.
You know what, though? You sure you want to do that?
Jeff, I don't care at this point.
Well, hold on.
Sure.
Bailey Zappi's won games in the league. You know where I'm going here.
I do.
At this point, why would you jeopardize at least the third pick in the draft? I'm rolling DTR out there again next week. And I'm gonna play him. He doesn't give me a very good chance to win. And at this point, that's the most you can accomplish this season. No player wants to hear that. I get it. No player wants to hear that. What do you think the front office thinks? They all want to win games. I get that. Everybody wants to win. At this point, it doesn't behoove you to win a game. I wouldn't start Bailey Zappi for that reason.
He might
luck you into a game.
I don't think there's much of a difference between DTR looking lost and Bailey Zappi checking down. It's all kind of, it feels very 6 in one hand, half dozen in the other. And if that's the case as well, and I can't believe I'm going to say this in an argument between DTR and Bailey Zappi, but here we are. At some point, you need to establish a culture of winning.
Yeah,
at
I know.
At some point, you need to hold people accountable.
That point of this season is gone.
Right. As I said, I can't believe I'm saying this in an argument between DTR and Bailey Zappi, but this is our reality.
Ravens need to win the game to clinch the division.
Right.
They've clinched a playoff spot.
Weird things happen in Browns-Ravens games.
Well, we saw that earlier this year, didn't we?
Exactly. Weird things happen. And so, if they want to do it, I get it. I'm fine. Cool. If they come out and they go, hey, DTR is going to start, I'd be like, great. Whatever. It's really where we are in this entire thing. It sucks that we're here. It's awful that we're here.
It's reality that we're here.
It's reality that we're here. And it is reality smacking you square in the face. And you start having conversations about this roster, and you realize that it's starting to look like that Chargers roster from 3 years ago, where you're looking at that going, wow, they've got some real talent on that team. They've got Joey Bosa. They've got Derwin James. They've got the middle linebacker, whose name is totally escaping me right now, Melvin Ingram. That's the name. They've got Keenan Allen. They've got Mike Williams. They've got all this stuff. And you realize how top-heavy a roster is. And you realize that the middle to the bottom of the roster is just a mess. And those are the teams that are succeeding right now, are the teams that the middle and the bottom of the roster are playing to a level that you can succeed with. And this team can't do it.
For what it's worth, Bailey Zappe as a starting quarterback has a record of 4-4. Should that scare you, Browns fans? I don't know. We'll see. I can't imagine that they would start Bailey Zappe. And I say that just because they're going to finish out what they have and go from there. And then I think starting next week, and I would doubt it starts on Sunday, but it would definitely, I would think, start on Monday. We're going to see major changes with this team.
You think we're getting major changes?
Absolutely.
Because at every turn.
Yeah, Dan, they're 3-13.
Well, but at every turn, Jimmy Haslam will tell you, Kevin Stancy's safe.
And he also said, he never said safe. He said when he was asked by Jeremy Fowler at the owners' meetings, as he was walking out, casual conversation, yes, I think we have the right people in place, but we'll reevaluate everything at the end of the season. I'm sorry. I think Kevin Stefanski's a good NFL head coach. He can only coach what he's given to coach. Right now, there's not a lot of talent there. If the ownership group next week says, you know what, we've thought things over, we're going to change coaches, we're going to change front office, who's going to argue with that rationale? I mean, seriously, at 3-13, I like Kevin Stefanski. I think he's a good coach.
Agreed. Same on this
one. If they decided to make a move, how can you argue? I would bring him back. How can you argue at 3-13?
It's tough.
It's very tough.
It's tough.
I could make an argument, but I could also make an argument the other way. 5 years in, you're 3-13. You should have established more of a culture so that even if you didn't have the talent and even if the quarterback didn't work, you should win more than three games.
You'd hope, but you turn around and look at the general manager and the whole thing and go, well, maybe the talent should be there. Maybe the talent should have been coming in a little bit better. I can only coach the people who are in front of me.
Maybe you should evaluate the talent on your roster a little more critically than you did after last season.
Open-eyed. Yep, critically.
I mean, if you've listened to this show, I talked about the lack of skill position talent on this team going into the season. It's been clearly on display. Clearly. I mean, you have one wide receiver who is pretty good and one who I think is better than pretty good, and you traded him. Traded him to Buffalo. And you have another one in Jerry Jeudy who's pretty good. I like Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
But let's not think he's Jamar Chase, because he's certainly not.
I mean, Ian Rappaport piece over the weekend, despite a stunning slide to 3-13. This season, the Browns have no plans to move on from two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Right, which I've seen says that. I'm okay with that. But certainly, if the Haslams wanted to, how are you going to argue that? Cool Ray's in Bedford. Cool Ray.
What's happening, Cool Ray?
Hey, what's up? Happy New Year, you guys. How you feeling?
Very happy New Year to you as well.
Okay, so first, let me just get this off my chest. I totally disagree with you, man. Kevin should be gone, period, done. Even just display of who he picked, he kept DTR and got rid of Huntley, and Huntley walked through us like we weren't even standing there.
He doesn't make those moves.
Did he do it or the general manager do it?
Thank you very much, Dan.
Well,
he doesn't make those moves. Cool Ray, you understand why Tyler Huntley wasn't here and DTR was, right? They drafted DTR. They thought they had a developmental quarterback. They had a pretty good idea what Tyler Huntley was. He won a game against the Browns backups in certain situations yesterday. It's not like Tyler Huntley was ungodly good, and it's not like he's been ungodly good. Let's not put him on the Mount Rushmore quarterbacks, okay? So let's just leave that narrative at the door. He's an okay NFL quarterback. If he was really good, the Browns wouldn't have been able to sign him last year because he would have already had a job. So let's stop the Tyler Huntley is the best quarterback in the history of quarterbacks.
We're not doing that, but what we're saying is you guys talk about Kevin and all these things. That, you know, if he don't have the power he needs to make decisions or whatever, then that's another reason to go. But my thing is this. I think the conversation should be this today is, based upon what we're hearing out of Myles Garrett's mouth, how can you sell this team moving forward to this man? He's going to want out.
Well, then you trade him.
Yeah.
You trade him and you load up on draft picks and you rebuild it. It's real straightforward, Cool Ray. I love Myles. I want him to finish his career here. I hope he goes another 5 years. He's 29 years old.
I don't like being in the business of trading Hall of Famers.
I don't either. I want to keep him.
But how do you sell the talent that we had on this team?
You tell him what you have. If he doesn't like it and he wants traded, you trade him.
And the plan that you got in front of him.
Sorry.
It's the best you can do, man.
If you do that, then how do you sell that this is going to be a better team moving forward to your fan base?
That's a better question.
That's a doozy. It's the same thing that we said the past couple of days, man, which is you heard it coming out of the locker room from Myles. I want to hear what the plan is going. Denzel Ward the next day. If Myles is hearing that plan, I'd love to hear it too. Joe Petonia, yeah, I'm debating retiring, but also I would really like to hear that plan. Your entire fan base every single day on these airwaves and other airwaves across the city. Yeah, we'd like a plan as well. We would like to know which direction this thing is going. We're all in the same exact camp. We want to know when we can come back to a conversation where the arrow for the Cleveland Browns is beginning to point up.
Michael is in Cleveland. Hi, Michael.
How are you, Michael?
Good morning. 2 years is the answer to that because we just don't have the players on here. I was going to talk about DTR real quick, but with the gentleman that was before me, the thing is that there's been a lot of Hall of Famers that towards the end of their career, because he's turning, what, 30?
29.
For Myles, 29. Okay, towards the end of their career.
Yesterday.
That you end up on another team.
Yeah. And we can go down that list and go through all that stuff. It's just, boy, I really would not like to do that with Myles Garrett.
I would agree.
But if we're all going to be honest with ourselves with this team, which, I mean, the beginning of the year, I think we were very delusional with the playoff high that we had, even though the playoff last year exposed us for a lot of what was going to happen this year, if you go back and look at it. Is that, it's going to take a couple of years. We've let go of a lot of positions that they've gotten a lot older. We've, the scheme that we were running, a lot of players that were hidden with other talented players around them last year was kind of like showing what we're at right now. And, you know, the thing that I'm happy is going back to the DTR thing is that all I heard this year was let DTR so we can see how he's going to play. DTR is not.
You never heard that from me, Michael, by the way.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that said it, and I'm just looking at him like, all right, he's thin. He's, you know, he's he doesn't have that frame of an NFL quarterback to go all, the whole season. And the first or second game, he started getting tweaks, and he started getting a little injured and stuff. And the thing is that our backup that people are like, oh, let him see. He is not an NFL quarterback that we can rely on.
I don't want to ding, Dan. I was chatting with the former professional athlete over the weekend.
Ding!
And he said, can everybody not see that this guy is a great Canadian Football League quarterback?
Oh, well, probably one of the best. I mean, if given the opportunity. And, you know, in a couple of years, he might have that opportunity. But next year, I mean, what are we looking for, a quarterback? We're looking for a quarterback, and we're looking for a whole quarterback room. Because I do not think that any of these quarterbacks should be returning. I think that the offensive coordinator and the running backs coach and the offensive line coach has not shown us anything. People want to blame the players, and you know what? You can pick whatever player you want to. All of them have not had a great season.
That sums it up real well, Michael.
And goodness, Michael, on top of that, which offensive line coach are you pointing at and saying they aren't showing anything? Because if you read that same Ian Rappaport piece,
buying this, by the way?
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it.
I'll read it verbatim. We get into it a little bit later. Other staff changes are possible. Mike Vrabel, who joined the Browns as a coaching and personnel consultant after he was fired by the Titans this past season, effectively became the offensive line coach, leaving a void in the likely event he lands elsewhere in the cycle.
What do you think of that one? And what do you think of this roster, where it sits right now? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. We'll see where this goes. Unfortunately, this team has one more football game to play. And, you know, you don't want to see your team lose, but boy, I can't see any benefits in winning. There's, as Rodney McLeod said yesterday in the locker room after the game, he said there will be a lot of changes next year. You know, this team, this group, and next year different. Rodney's right. And so, you know, you could talk all about we want to win and build momentum. Build momentum for who? Who's going to be back? Who's not going to be back? It doesn't behoove this team to win a game. It behooves the players, but it doesn't behoove the franchise to win a game on Saturday.
Well, you tried run it back last year, and you see how well that turned out.
That's exactly right.
And, yeah, this stinks. I mean, it just stinks that we're about to roll into a game on Saturday that is going to be on national television, and we're all looking at each other and going, the best thing about this game is the fact that they're going to get it done early, and that I can be mad on Saturday, and then maybe in a slightly better mood on Sunday.
I just hate the fact that the franchise is left in a better spot if they don't win the game.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, I despise it. I despise it in professional sports
true.
In general.
I mean, it is true.
I hate rewarding losing. And we are in a position where the Browns are going to be rewarded for losing. Yay! Professional sports.
216-474-0092, the number to join us. Aramis is in West Park.
How are you, Aramis?
Good morning.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today, man?
You know what, man? Hello? I'm well. I got to admit, I'm well. I'm
oh, that's
bummed,
good.
But I got my health.
Oh, my God.
Hey, brother, listen. So listening to you guys talk, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting, right, that we have absolutely no faith in our GM or coaching system, right, to go out there and draft third or draft fourth or fifth and come out with the best player in the draft. That's a problem to me. You know, the fact that we can't go out there and end the season on a positive note, at least make Myles Garrett happy with a win, right? That's all the guy wants. I mean, he's been here for almost a decade. He just wants to see the team progress and win, right? But we're probably going to lose the game for all the reasons you guys underlined, right? Sappy would probably be better than Thompson. The reason Thompson's broke is because Stefanski started him against Baltimore and absolutely destroyed the kid's confidence. So if he was going to be a good quarterback, he still might be, just not with Cleveland. He'll be down the road on a different team, kind of like Sam Darnold, you know, against the Patriots. He saw ghosts, but look at him now.
Oh, Aramis, I mean, you're like so... 3 steps ahead of where you should be with DTR.
Dude, listen, my point is, I have no faith. There's nothing good going on here from coach to GM to players. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing positive. We're going to come out, you know, drafting third or fourth because, in my opinion, they're still going to get – and they're still going to go out there and mess up the draft. I've seen it already with this GM.
All right, Aramis.
I think if there was ever a day that we should advise people to just hug a Browns fan – today might be the day that you should just walk up and hug anybody wearing a Browns hat, Browns shirt, Browns lanyard, Browns wallet, Browns shoes, Browns whatever. It just kind of has that feel to it because Aramis needed a hug.
As I've said before, I think Andrew Berry has done a fine job with some trades. I think he's done a solid job in free agency. But when you don't hit draft picks, you end up with teams that are lacking overall talent in many key spots, and that's what we're looking at right now. They've not hit enough draft picks to replenish the roster with affordable players.
And you're behind the eight ball because you don't have those top tier draft picks.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, he had to give up 6 picks in the Watson trade.
Right. And you dealt the second rounder for Elijah Moore. That looks like a
so we get all that.
That looks like an oops.
Well, it does. Yeah. You know, the only time it didn't was when Jameis was playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of Flacco, too. He threw a couple of nice balls of Flacco.
Jim's in Lyndhurst. Jim.
Yeah, hi. I think our talent is fair on the team, not as bad as people say it is. The problem is we don't have anything at quarterback, okay, number one. The offensive coordinator, the special teams coordinator, the offensive line coach, okay. And you know these other people on the radio say that we can't pick a quarterback at number one? Forget one thing, okay. Each pick this year is going to be like with a 3 and 14, you get 20 picks higher than 11 and 5. So a number 3 pick this year is equal to about a number 2 pick last year and down the line. You see what I mean?
No,
not at all.
I'm not tracking. I apologize.
Each pick is going to be much higher. Our number 2 pick is going to be way up.
You're saying that the record is worse. Okay,
yeah,
now
exactly.
I'm tracking.
We get that.
Sorry about that.
So we're getting much more draft capital this year, so we can fill the holes. And our talent isn't that bad. It's more the quarterback and the coordinators that are bad. And so I would pick that. I would definitely do anything I could to get one of those two quarterbacks, because you're not going to be have a high pick like that probably in the next couple of years. We're not that bad.
Well, Jim, and the only issue there, and Jim, I get it. I don't want to go full blown draft yet, but it's coming. If you're sitting at three and the Patriots are ahead of you, they drafted Drake May. They're not going to draft one of those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get one of those top two or three quarterbacks in the draft. But the question is, just because they're the top one, two, or three quarterbacks in this draft doesn't make them an NFL top-notch quarterback. Could be. I have not dug into that yet, and because I'm concentrating on this season. I will. I'll be looking at some stuff, and for whatever that's worth, you might end up with a guy who loves DeShone Kizer or a guy who loves Josh Allen. So, you know, that's the way that one goes.
But we all got him.
The debate will be, are these guys worthy of the third pick in the draft? Because they might not be. In a normal draft, would they be, you know, a second-round pick? I've seen the kid from Alabama listed as the Browns' pick at number three. And I've also seen him not going in the first round. So, you know, who's evaluating these guys? That's where this is going to come into play for the Browns.
You're going to hear me say this over and over again. I am not taking a quarterback in this draft. I don't think the talent is there to take a quarterback in this draft. And if you do take a quarterback in this draft, the smartest thing that you could do is put him on the Michael Penix plan. That is the way I would handle every quarterback in this draft, which is sit him for the majority of the next season, if not the full season.
Which means you have to get a veteran quarterback.
And let him develop. And we all know how Cleveland goes when it comes to developmental quarterbacks, which is that we all come in with this wonderful idea. Oh, yeah, he's going to sit. He's going to learn. He's going to grind film. He'll get all the practice reps. It's going to be fantastic. And then toward the end of the season, maybe we'll see him. And then week three rolls around and everything has gone to hell in a handbasket. And then week six rolls around and everything has not only gone from hell to a handbasket, but now we're all with torches and pitchforks screaming to see this kid play. He steps out, looks like trash. And now all of a sudden you're yanking back and forth between two different quarterbacks in a season. And that's going to be the whole point of this. I am not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft. Hands down, I'm going to scream it over and over and over again.
That's because you want the defensive tackle from Michigan.
Either that or give me the defensive end from Penn State. Those are the two guys that I've got circled on my board. I'm not doing it. If anything, I want a quarterback in next year's draft where there's a lot more talent.
If they deem one of these guys to be a top-notch quarterback, they're going to take one. We have three guys from named John right now on hold.
John.
Is that me, guys?
This one's
that
you,
would
John.
Be you. Yeah, you're going to have to give locations.
You're one of two.
As I throw my car.
He's one of two Johns in Akron.
I'm John from Akron.
So's the next guy.
I'm that guy. And hey, I love the show, but I hate Monday mornings. Just to be honest with you.
I got
to
be honest. So do I. I hate the whole shtick.
And I agree with Dan that we
welcome to Honesty Monday. You
know, yeah, Kevin D. Podesta Berry cannot draft a quarterback. I do not trust these guys to evaluate a quarterback. You look over the last couple of years, and I'm not even going to mention the A1 player that we let go. This regime has let go of Huntley and Josh Dobbs.
Oh my gosh!
Okay.
Oh please.
All right.
Josh Dobbs is great in that Progressive commercial where he's the backup, but he comes in and he hangs the picture.
Just because the 86 Dodge Shadow.
He's a great aeronautical engineer.
Just because the 86 Dodge Shadow turns over doesn't mean it's a reliable automobile.
Well, what I'm looking at is most of the quarterbacks we've let go in the last 5 years are better than what remains.
Well, now that's a different debate.
And that tells me that this group cannot match quarterbacks to the system, or they cannot evaluate quarterbacks. So why should we trust them with a draft?
John? Interesting topic that will be discussed as we get toward the draft.
Write it down.
We'll see what happens next week.
Comes
another John in Akron. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Good. Hey, I've been listening to the show. First of all, big compliment. Great show. Long time listener.
Thank you.
I've called in a handful of times, but I'll be brief. The draft is here, guys, and we have to get a quarterback. If we do not get a quarterback, what is our plan? We're going to run it back with Watson? We're going to run it back with DTR? What's the plan?
I mean, Does Kirk Cousins do anything for you? Derek Carr do anything for you? Gardner Minshew do anything for you?
Oh my God. No, none of the above.
Okay. You would rather have take a pick that you have a potential to get a defense-altering player in some way, shape, or form, or possibly a left tackle, and instead roll the dice on a quarterback that probably needs to sit?
I hear you there, and there's always going to be a crapshoot. There's always going to be risk involved. But we have to have a quarterback because the quarterback scores points. The DN and the edge guys, they don't score points.
John, let me throw one thing at you.
Scooping scores are there somewhere.
Let me throw one thing at you.
Not to mention, fat guy touchdowns are wildly entertaining.
Stop. John, they scored some points with Jameis.
They did. I forgot about Jameis.
Does he do anything for you for next year?
He does, and that's probably the safest bet. Again, it's always going to be risk involved.
Yeah, I agree.
We have to do something, guys. We have to address that position. We've failed at addressing that position properly for the last decade or so.
John, I can't argue with you. They tried. Let's give them credit. They tried. They took a big swing, and it's been a big swing and a miss. John in Cleveland. John, you got about 30 seconds. I want to get you in.
All right, John.
Okay, we have more than quarterback problems. I mean, who on this roster do you really want to keep? I mean, you might want to keep Myles Garrett, but who does other teams want? This deal with Watson has really screwed us up for years because you talk about missing on the draft. Well, we're missing on fourth, fifth, and sixth round players. We haven't had first, second, or third round players. And
we have had thirds. They haven't hit those.
Yeah, Cedric Tillman looks good, but boy, one out of, what is it, six, seven?
You're, not the idea.
Yeah.
But you need first and second rounders. That's six guys that could be making up a team. And quarterback's not going to be. People who think we just need a quarterback, we have players on this team. Let's be honest. I would say three quarters of the team should not. Who would want them? And think about who's going to trade for our players. Denzel Ward plays 12 games a year.
You don't want to know what you could get for John or for Denzel, John, because you could get a lot for him.
Top five cover corner in football.
Denzel's a terrific player.
Yeah.
Then let's hope his
probably
the concussion issue is not a problem.
Are we going to make an all-pro this year?
Yeah. Maybe.
I want to keep that guy.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. Coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.